Now, often when we study the Beatitudes, it's thought that this is Jesus sort of making promises in order to get people to behave the way they should. And Beatitudes are promises, they're blessings that are somewhat conditional. So listen to the conditions for being blessed. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I'm listening to somebody's cell phone. Is it off? Was it God calling? What did God have to say? The Beatitudes. It was a cell phone speaking the Beatitudes? Was the reading better than mine? I'm not easily distracted. Look, there's a bird. As I said, people often read this as being, you know, sort of bribery. I think there's another cell phone that's being answered in the other corner of the building, and I'm being distracted by that. Ralph, is yours better than my reading too? So, instead, here's what I invite you to read here. Not that here is how you will be individually blessed if you are meek, if you are a peacemaker, if you are righteous, if you are poor in spirit. But here's how the world will be blessed by your behavior. Now, to understand that, perhaps it's important to have a contrast that shows what it's like in the world when that doesn't happen. You just heard two young women say they want to reject evil and work instead for the good, not just for their own salvation, which is, of course, supremely important, but also for the good of the world. Has anybody listened to CNN or Fox News lately? I listened to both this week to get the contrast. And I am appalled at the behavior that's reported on it. And I think, I'm not getting into politics here, I'm getting into reported behavior that is intended to escalate tension. There's no peacemaking being reported when political parties attack one another. There's no meekness. There's no poverty of spirit. Instead, there's incredible pride. And all they're working for is to win an election. Not the good of the people. Not the general good. If what's reported on the news is true. And I believe that both of those networks inflate it. I want to believe both networks inflate it and make it worse than it is. It may be worse than they report. But do you see the contrast? We need leaders in the church and outside the church who are willing to work for the common good, who are willing to be righteous for righteousness' sake, not to win an election, not to win friends and followers, but because being righteous, being right with God, is the best way to live. We need leaders in the church and outside it who are willing to be meek, not doormats, but meek, to listen to other people and their positions, to work together, not to be so proud that they cannot work with anyone else because they want the credit all to themselves. We need leaders in the church and outside the church who are less denominational and more cooperative, less about a party and more about serving a country. We need people willing to follow Jesus for the greater good, not just as a way to get to heaven. I always urge people to vote. This year, I want to find somebody to vote for who's more concerned about the greater good than individual aggrandizement. And from what I hear reported, that's going to be hard to find. But Jesus was talking not so much to public leaders as he was to his followers. And he was warning them, especially in the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit, people who know the truth of those baptismal vows, that we are to accept God's power because we don't have it on our own. We are too poor in spirit to fulfill the vows that we make unless we accept God's power to get us through. Blessed are those who mourn. There's a pattern here of insufficiency. We aren't enough on our own. We have to be transparent to God's power in the world, to adopt it, to take it in and use it to empower us, to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come and dwell among us, in us individually, and empower us as a group of people and perhaps as a nation, so that God's will be done, not ours, too often. And we just did it just now because in every pastoral prayer I do it. Too often we focus so much on praying for what we want to happen, for people to be healed. Certainly that's generous, isn't it? And good to do. For people to be comforted. But in so many ways, that's like a list for Santa Claus of things I want. When what's needed is a yielding spirit, a spirit that wants to be subservient to God's will, a spirit that's more willing to be subservient, submissive to God's will and the greater good, even than for our I saw a recent example of this, that was almost painful to watch. Two weeks ago, I was at Stingel with a group of people who were doing counseling with kids who knew the little girl that passed away, Turnbull. And it was important for us to be there for Sadie's friends. One of the people doing counseling was Todd Friend. And Todd was there not as a counselor, not even as a school board member, but as a father who had lost a son a year and a half ago. We prayed for Cameron. Cameron had cancer for, I think it was a couple of years before he passed away. That happened a year and a half ago. And Todd that day shared with me that his pain has only increased since losing his son. And he hurts more about it today than he did a year and a half ago. Some of you have lost children, and it must be an incredible pain. But here was a man who was willing to come and spend all day talking with kids who were in pain, setting aside his own personal pain to do that. And it had to hurt for him to spend an entire day thinking about the loss of a child, little Sadie. But he did it, and he did it with generosity of spirit, with meekness, and with righteousness for the greater good. When Jesus told the disciples they must be meek, he didn't mean they should be doormats. He meant they shouldn't go to war with people who opposed them, because in that day, in that time, that was happening in Israel. There were those who were accumulating arms and wanting to rise up against the Romans and fight back. And he didn't want them to do that. He wanted them to oppose what was wrong, but to do it with a meek spirit, a spirit of submission to God's will, and to do it lovingly. It is these beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. It is these beatitudes that inspired Gandhi and inspired Martin Luther King. It is these that inspired a nonviolent protest on separate continents. And it is these that continue to inspire us today when we have to look at the world's problems and ask ourselves, how would a Christian behave? How should our leaders behave? How should we proceed in a world that is increasingly full of behavior that is tempting us to violence and anger and hatred in response to violence and anger and hatred? Here's our blueprint for how to operate. And it has existed for 2,000 years. And sometimes we remember to follow it. I appeal to each one of us today to remember that we set out to be disciples, and that it is so hard sometimes when we surround ourselves with temptation, even in the news media. It's tempting to get angry when family members disappoint us. I was talking with a woman this week who is so very angry because her children have let her down. And she said to me, I hope that someday I can forgive them. She knows what she's supposed to do. She's read the good book. She knows the blueprint. But life is full of temptations that inspire us in the wrong direction, toward anger and hatred and enmity, and away from gentleness and blessedness and peacekeeping. But God has given us the offer of power to resist evil. As long as we remember and remind ourselves and remind one another that we accepted that power and need to claim it again and again and again and again. Blessed, you see, are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers. And blessed are those who are persecuted. You know what God calls you to do. I don't have to tell you. But if you're like me, you need to be reminded once in a while that that's what you set out to do, so we can remember to do it. Thanks be to God. Amen.